Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. I'm Monty Larrick, and this is David Smith.
Hello.
He's the executive director of the Illinois Family Institute. Well, they're not pronouns, but we go by steak and potatoes.
Or Lord and Master. No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
There we go. We're joined by Shannon Adcock, the founder and president of Awake Illinois, an organization that promotes grassroots activism and civic empowerment with a goal to protect children, parental rights, and our liberties. Welcome.
Yep.
Thank
Welcome,
you so
Shannon.
Much. Great to be here.
Yeah. WakeIL.com, expanding throughout all four corners of the state with 30-plus county-based chapters. How can concerned citizens, Shannon, create an Awake chapter?
Great question. They just can contact us, and we'll equip them with whatever they need by way of print materials or an email address. I think right now, the groundswell of grassroots activism is really less chapter-based. That was kind of a good model early on, but now it's just anyone who is willing to be engaged as a citizen, whether it's filing a witness slip in opposition or in favor of a bill. We empower people as individuals. We don't necessarily need them to be a part of, quote, a local chapter. But it is a good way to get more people organized in your community if there's a hunger for that. They can email us at info@awakeil.com, and our email address is awakeil.com.
And you're awake, not woke.
Awake, not woke. Yes. And I started this organization in 2021 because I awakened in 2020. I was pretty much a
during the shutdowns?
During the school lockdowns, yes, and just seeing how these policies were not rooted in logic, certainly not biblical, but I looked at the school boards and thought, they're not really representing us. Yep. They're not representing us as parents, as taxpayers, and there was no common sense. So I went down the rabbit hole, maybe we can get more into that later, but I realized that I had to be more engaged and active on policy and on politics. I was never a stranger to giving my opinion, but that's different than actually engaging with policymakers, speaking to them face to face, and lobbying in favor or against any particular policy. So our organization aims to keep people engaged so that they don't fall asleep at the wheel. And I'm sure you've seen this too, you guys, where people kind of ebb and flow. They get comfortable, and then they get angry again. Especially in Illinois, it's just very bombastic. So we want to keep the pulse going.
Or they just give up.
Or they're defeated.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that.
So now, you're not just a concerned taxpayer. You are a mother of three kids. You and your husband have three kids, and they're all, we're going through the school system. Are they still? I don't know where they are now.
But. Right. So at the time of 2020, our oldest was in fifth grade.
Okay.
Our middle kiddo was in third grade.
Got it.
And our youngest was going into kindergarten.
Got it.
And I wasn't really an apathetic person. I was an executive on the Parent Teacher Association.
Okay.
A deacon at my community church.
So you were involved. Yeah.
I mean, you talk about the pulse of your community. Stay-at-home moms are a huge part of that. And so I was very engaged. I didn't just drop my kid off and see a school. They knew me. They knew my daughter. She was my shadow as a PTA, leader. She was at all these events with me, and it was such a shame to, when it was her turn to go to school, the schools were closed.
Yeah.
And I knew it wasn't rooted in logic. And so I looked around and said, well, rather than complain, I'll run for school board.
Yeah.
And in 2020, I went to my first ever rally. I don't do this type of thing. I'm not like a activist
right.
by nature, but I thought we got to go in front of the district headquarters is where this rally was. And I said, we got to take to the microphone and speak for these kids. Like the schools should be open. This is common sense. And look at what we've learned now. Of course, they should have been. And through the course of running for school board as just a mom and a taxpayer, an involved parent, I saw the special interests then that we're getting to really run the show, and that was a whole rabbit hole.
And you faced some well-organized and well-moneyed opposition, didn't you?
Absolutely. I knew it was bad when they started calling me racist. because I knew the name calling was now not rooted in policy or the topic of keeping schools open or even curricula. It was just, we don't
character
like what you're doing.
Right?
That's all they have. Because if they debate you on the issue, they lose.
That's right.
Right? They knew the school should have been open. They knew the teacher unions were pushing this across the country. And then as I started paying attention to, you look behind the curtain of public education, we saw the indoctrination that was happening. And you could see the Zooms, you could hear what the teachers were saying. And we had parents sending me as a school board candidate recordings of some of what they were hearing from their child. Their child could have been in their bedroom. And the one daughter who this parent sent me a clip, she took the recording of the Zoom on her Chromebook and sent it to her mom. And they were talking about transgenderism.
Yeah.
And this teacher was saying, back in my day, I didn't have all of this talk about inclusion and being accepted, but I think we need to talk about this. And so we started to see, okay, this is a problem. And I was speaking out against it.
Good.
And
good.
And got called all the wrong names, right?
And when did you discover the comprehensive sex ed problem?
So that was closer to 2021.
Okay.
Really, when we started to see more discussion on the bill that was being passed through the legislature.
And you did so much great work after this was passed to get kids to get, or parents, to opt out of this.
Yes. Yeah. Parents don't know that they have the right to opt out of radical sexual education. And
they
should.
That's right.
They should. So more parents are realizing this and they're filing these forms at the start of the school year to say, we do not agree with this. And for the most part, I will tell you, the schools respect that. They're just hoping that you won't be familiar with your rights and that you won't exercise them.
Is it a difficult process?
No. So at awakeil.com/forms, we have a triplicate. It's downloaded in one PDF. And what it says is that you, the teacher, are not allowed to talk about transgenderism, radical sexual education, abortion, even mental health counseling with my child without my permission. So it's covering all the things that we know now. Three different forms, yep.
For each one of those issues.
It's kind of comprehensive. So some of the forms are more focused on maybe sex ed or curricula topics, and then others are more focused on like the mental health one-on-one conversations that we know are happening.
Okay.
And that is where you see more of this infusion of transhumanism, transgenderism, where counselors can talk to kids about, hey, maybe you have different pronouns. Maybe you have a different name, and we won't tell your parents. This is a big problem right now. And so parents, when they exercise their rights, they're being the intentional barrier, the intentional parent between the indoctrination efforts and their children.
But are they carrying through with the parents' wishes?
Yeah.
Or
are they ignoring
them?
Oh,
we'll let your kid opt out, but are they really?
For the most part, I think it is predominantly successful.
Good.
There could be the super woke activist teacher who says, I don't really care. I'm still going to show or talk about this book. We're still pulsing and dust the concepts. So I don't want to make it seem like it's a perfect world. As a parent who filed these forms, my kids went to the library. And, it wasn't necessarily the most comfortable thing because they were the minority.
Sure,
but they got their homework done. And I said, hey, you're getting things done in the library and you don't need to see this, silly Lifetime movie talking about, premarital sex and, an abusive boyfriend and all of this.
Try it out sex ed.
That's right.
Right. Yeah.
They do encourage, experimentation.
Experimentation, right. Been hearing about some cases out of Massachusetts. I don't know if you're familiar with this, where they're not letting the kids opt out. Is that happening in Illinois?
Not yet, but we know that that is certainly an agenda that could be happening. You have to look at these radical legislative bills that are passing. They're going to try and restrict the parental opt-out. Now, the good news is that parental rights is in the Supreme Court right now, and I think that we have such a secure court in the federal level that I believe that these nuances will be addressed at the federal court and will set a strong precedence for states like Illinois. But we are strong supporters of parental rights being fundamental, not being permitted by government. That's a big deal.
That's
right. God-given.
It seems to me that some of these school administrators, teachers, are tone deaf. They don't know what their own constituents, families, are saying. We don't want this garbage being taught to our kids. And yet they're failing on the math and the reading and the science. They're not majoring on the majors, you might say.
Absolutely. I mean, this was what we've been figuring out the last 5 years. The role of government schools should have been to teach the fundamentals of academics.
Yep.
English, arithmetic,
yep.
Writing, U.S. history, the Constitution. And when I say history, I mean all of it. Right. Not the picking and choosing. Sure. You teach the stains, right?
So the good, the bad, and the ugly,
repeat
right?
Repeat them 100%, but these kids are not learning the fundamentals. And schools have become now indoctrination centers of woke activism. And teachers themselves are coming from the government schools indoctrinated. So they see the classroom as an altar where they can actually give their woke sermons and indoctrinate these kids. And so, you know, it just takes one. It just takes one radical influence on a child to really destroy the values that you're teaching them in your home.
And they're corrupting a bunch of kids. However, the good news is, just like they're failing to teach math and reading, they're failing to indoctrinate all the kids. Some of us are escaping. You know, I'm a public school product, and I escaped their grasp way back in the day. Anyway.
Yeah. The majority of Illinois students are not reading proficient, they're not math proficient, and people are figuring this out. So homeschooling is on the rise.
Yes.
Even in a state like Illinois, where people traditionally were beholden to their public schools, they're making such dramatic changes in their finances to do what they can to protect their children. But the majority of children's souls in Illinois are in government schools, so we cannot give up on them.
And we have great pioneers like Cesar LaFleur and Latasha Fields.
Amen.
Who are really championing this to the city, to Black and Hispanic families in the city, saying, you can do this. You can homeschool.
You can. But at the very least, opt your children out of radical sexual education. And when you do that, you are letting teachers know that you are paying attention.
Yes.
You are not an absent parent.
Amen.
And in Chicago public schools, more than 300,000 students, they were the primary implementation of radical sexual education first,
yep.
K through 12. And so we encourage parents to opt out their children. What we have seen in our sex ed analysis these last 2 years is that opt-out is on the rise. And the message is being sent to the state of Illinois, both the legislature and the State Board of Education and local schools, that parents do not want this in the classroom. It does not matter where they are on the political spectrum. They want to see children learning to read and write, not being sexualized.
Amen.
Well, I notice from what I read on your website that the opt-out is really big in Chicago public schools. That's surprising to me.
It is. And to Latasha Fields' credit, to grassroots advocates like her, particularly those that are leading by faith, they do not want this exposure in the classroom to their children. And so word of mouth is huge.
That's right.
And when you let parents know, hey, I submitted these forms, it actually creates a good dialogue with the administration and with teachers that they're going to say, okay, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, you're paying attention here. You're an involved parent. And let's be honest. Involved parents make for better students.
Amen.
They're better behaved.
That's
they
right.
are more teachable.
That's right.
And so even if they may say, okay, well, this person isn't going to teach their kid radical sexual education, they're still going to see a parent who's involved. That's so important.
And you got to wonder why they don't offer at least abstinence and marriage training. You know, our good friend Scott Phelps runs a curriculum, Abstinence and Marriage Partnership. There is a hunger and a desire for this, but it's not being promoted in our Chicago public schools or Chicago most public schools.
Right. When it's not being promoted in culture.
No,
right. So you have to promote it in your home.
Yep.
And you have to protect your children from any influence it's going to be.
I would suggest also youth groups, you know.
Well, it's
church.
Not being promoted even in our church.
No, I know. And this is something it's
right.
frustrating. These
right.
are the things we unfortunately need to reemphasize because it's been forgotten.
Well, Illinois Family Institute, the key word being family.
Yeah.
What happens in your home with your family is paramount. And so we can talk all day long about laws and about public schools, but ultimately the home
yes.
is paramount.
Amen.
Well, you talked about opt-out and the administrators, the teachers are accepting this, but are they accepting it? Do they hold something against the child who opts out? Do they consider, oh, he's got those kind of parents?
Mm-hmm. Well, this is why, unfortunately, a lot of parents do not submit the forms.
Right.
They're afraid of retribution.
Yeah.
Fortunately, you know, Awake Illinois has been such a solid whistleblower. I know that my name precedes me when somebody sees my children's name on a classroom list, right? They know that John and I are intentional parents and that if something goes awry, I'm going to speak up about it.
Yep.
And so as parents have their parental rights violated, we will gladly shed light on any district or situation where they are having their rights violated. I mean, Amen. You have to be a strong watchdog. And Absolutely. That's been a pretty important part of, I think, our effort as a grassroots organization to say, hey, oh, no, no, this is what's happening and it's not good for
well,
you.
Well, I'm grateful that you have thick skin, Shannon, because, you know, they're throwing slings and arrows and darts at you all the time, aren't they?
Yes, they are. But yeah. You know what? They smear who they fear. Yeah. And I think that these are oftentimes, they're cowards, right?
Well, they're bullies, too.
They're bullies, they are. But for the most part, I think even in far left-leaning ideologues' minds, that of a teacher, they do know that intentional parents are strong.
Yes.
And to be respected.
Amen.
For the most part.
That's right.
But what's really important is you have to raise children who are going to know what this fight entails as they get older.
We need to take a break. When we come back, we need to talk about the two federal complaints that you or Awake Illinois have filed. Praise God, we have a friendly Department of Justice and Department of Education who are going to maybe seriously take a look at these things. So a little teaser, right, Monty?
Yeah. After this timeout, and stay tuned.
Hail and well met. My name is Jenna.
I'm Kenna Rose.
And I'm Eliana.
We are three of the five hosts of the Self-Evident Podcast, a platform dedicated to speaking truths that were once self-evident, and our hope is that we do so in love.
We have seen a distinct lack of platforms talking about worldview issues and theology and just a lot of what's going on in the world from a perspective of speaking truth, but doing it in such a way that is loving. And so our hope is to be able to talk about these in such a way that
our peers can access
right,
it.
Right, absolutely.
As well as interviewing a variety of people such as pastors, actors, theologians, directors, even some of our friends to glean wisdom from their own walks of life.
Yeah, so if you are in the Generation Z category, even if you're above that, or impressively, even if you're below that and you're listening to podcasts, good on you. We encourage you to stop by our platform at selfevidentpodcast.com.
Self-evident, speaking truths that were once self-evident and doing so in love.
The Institute for Family Studies recently released its latest American Family Survey, which revealed that liberal women are unhappier and lonelier than their conservative counterparts. Only 12% of them said they are completely satisfied with their lives, compared with 37% of conservative women. Psychology professor Lucian Hanks explains in an essay in The American Spectator that two factors accounted for roughly half the gap between liberal and conservative women in this study: church attendance and marriage. The study's authors explain that the gap seems to flow from the fact that liberal young women are less likely to be integrated into core American institutions, specifically marriage and religion, that lend meaning, direction, and a sense of solidarity to women's lives. They suggest that the fact that liberal women are less likely to marry or go to church may also have a hand in their elevated reports of loneliness. These findings are backed up by other research. Dr. Hanks points to a recent study that reveals rising rates of depression in liberal adolescent females. Social psychologist Jonathan Haidt says this phenomenon began back in 2012 when teens began to have smartphones and teen girls flocked to Instagram. Another prominent psychologist and author, Jean Twenge, has shown that liberal girls use social media more than any other group. They are conducting their social lives more online than in person. Dr. Twenge found that beginning in the 70s, liberal girls spent more time with friends than conservative girls. There was a drastic reversal beginning in 2010. Dr. Haidt adds that this is roughly the time when young women began to be inundated online with ideas about their own fragility. Liberal females are more likely to buy into woke lies about words and ideas being forms of violence toward them, against which they are powerless. Conservatives instead emphasize personal agency and resiliency. No wonder conservative women are happier.
For Point of View, I'm Penna Dexter.
Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. Monty Lurick here along with David Smith.
I'm still here.
He's still the executive director of the Illinois Family Institute. We're joined by Shannon Adcock from Awake Illinois. What's the contact info, Shannon?
AwakeIL.com.
All right.
And you're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those things?
We're everywhere.
You have a really good presence on, it's no longer Twitter, X, right?
Yes, that has grown. We have 33,000 followers on Facebook, and then we have 23,000 and growing on X.
That's awesome.
And on X is where we do our fastest updates, so our handle is @Awake_IL.
Well, Title IX complaints against the Illinois Board of Education and Valley View School District 365.
And that's
my
title
two daughters attended
complaint.
There in Valley View. What's going on?
This is sort of the progression of our organization, right? And I was sharing with several people that this last 2 months have been the busiest since we started in 2021. 2 days after I lost my school board race, I started Wake Illinois. And it's just grown, and it has remained uncancelable. But now we have friends at the federal level finally.
Amen.
And so with President Trump getting elected, with the vacating of the Biden Title IX, which permitted all of this gender insanity, yep. We are now back to Title IX protections of children, particularly females in their private spaces and on sports teams. So for anybody who's not familiar with Title IX, this is a federal protection of women and boys, males and females, in their biologically separated spaces by sex, by biological sex. So this is very important. And as we see the commitment to eviscerate all of this DEI nonsense and race hustling, Awake Illinois saw the right opportunity to file two federal civil rights complaints. The first one was for the Title VI, the race hustling, where teachers were having this organization by Teach Plus funded with state dollars that said only teachers of color could be permitted to certain groups. That is a violation. That's a race violation.
It sure is.
So that was our first complaint, and I presented it to our State Board of Education, Tony Sanders, who comes from Elgin District. He failed up where they had 19% reading proficiency in his district, and now he's the head of education in the state of Illinois. And I presented it to his face, to the board in person, and I showed them a stack of papers, like a foot tall, and I said, we have federal civil rights complaints in queue to hold this state accountable to the children. End of story. And so the following month, we filed a Title IX complaint against the State Board of Education in Valley View School District. They're permitting males into the girls' bathrooms at the high school. We had a parent testimony. We had a grievance filed that he submitted to the district. And what the good news is, and I want people to have hope about this in a state like Illinois, which typically is, you know, thought of as a flyover state, we have 2 million children that deserve to be protected in
Amen.
This state.
Amen. Absolutely.
And I firmly believe that President Trump's administration, given this new task force they've developed, the Department of Justice and the Department of Education have created a task force, a joint task force, to investigate Title IX complaints.
Yep.
And we have heard from sources close to the department that Awake Illinois' Title IX complaint has been prioritized as a one that they're focusing on nationally.
Why do you think that is? Do you think maybe President Trump has it in for J.B. Pritzker? I don't know.
I think so. I think you're absolutely right. I think Illinois is under the radar. Look at what has happened with illegal immigration in the state of Illinois. Look at the case study of Maine and these universities that are seeing their funding restricted. If you restrict funding in the state of Illinois, good news, bad news. Bad news is that Illinois is broke. But the good news is they're so reliant on federal bailout money that if they do not follow federal protections, they're going to lose that money. So this is a terrible
predicament. It's going to collapse.
It's going to collapse. Yeah. And so I really think that Pritzker would almost be dumb to run for governor again, dare I say, because he's going to be left holding a dramatically empty bank account.
Oh, interesting perspective. Now, I was thinking he'd run again for governor just because he doesn't want to be out of office when he runs for president in 2028. So, hey, let's see. But, you know, he's been so outspoken, critical of Donald Trump. I mean, even calling for, you know, no peace for Republicans, disturbances, you know. He's calling attention to himself, and Donald Trump will respond. You know, that's his nature, right? And so he's only going to bring more attention on the situation, probably.
He is. Well, and look, I mean, Pritzker is so far left.
Yes.
He cannot reverse course. So he's so dug in. But he also funds a lot of these woke legislators in the state of Illinois, including several of whom are sponsoring this homeschool attack bill, as I would call it, House Bill 2827. I know you were on national news, Dave, speaking to your objection to this. We have absolutely, many of us grassroots leaders across the state have come together to stop this. But Pritzker's money is involved in these legislative runs of these really radical people. These are not Democrats. My grandparents were Democrats. We were talking about how we're from the south side of Chicago, and my grandparents were Democrats. My grandpa worked as a Chicago police officer by day and a security guardsman by night, raising 5 children. He would be disgusted by what the Democrat Party is today. And so they're far left, they're radical, they're anti-family, they're anti-child. And I believe that Pritzker and all of these legislators have gone too far.
Yep.
really too far now. And so I'm hopeful that we will stop this homeschool attack bill because Illinois is waking up to this.
Yeah, and it's amazing because they do have super majorities in Springfield. So you would think it shouldn't be a problem to pass this kind of an agenda. But it's very controversial. We've got people like Fred Crespo saying at a committee hearing, I know homeschool families. I don't want to throw them under the bus. That's a paraphrase. I can't vote for this bill. You've got LaShawn Ford from Oak Park. Yeah, he's Chicago and Oak Park.
Very left-leaning areas of Chicago. But yes. he is a black legislator, yep. And he is very worried. And I think it's because constituents are saying, hey, this is going to be a giant shadow over your reelection campaign.
Well, that's partly because, I would say, this is my speculation. The homeschool movement probably started as really a Christian conservative movement. But it's expanded dramatically. We've got liberals who want to raise free range, is what I call them, children, and not have the indoctrination of the school system, though they're maybe left of center.
Mm-hmm. So, or just the lacking academics. They want their children to learn how to read.
Exactly.
They may not be hyper-focused on religion, but they want their children to be literate.
That's exactly right.
We've had all these witness lips. We've had a big rally in opposition to the homeschool bill. Yet there are lawmakers still backing this, and they're kind of saying, these witness slips, they're just all from out of state. What do you say?
Right. Well, Michelle Mussman just this week had a town hall, so I'm grateful you're bringing this up. And she is having to really aggressively defend this bill, which tells me she's scared, and she's probably getting a lot of pushback from her constituents. I mean, national news. You were on the national news. This has made national news. This would be a terrible precedent for education, freedom, and parental rights if this were to pass.
Yep.
So they tried to criminalize parents. They were saying that truancy would be what your child would be labeled as if you don't submit paperwork to the government with this bill, right?
And which makes you a criminal,
and they could therefore say that you are basically negligent as a parent, would have criminal implications. This is a radical bill. And so she went to this town hall, and she said, you know, all those witness slips, what is it, like over 150,000 now? All those are out of state and, you know, duplicates. Oh, no, Michelle. No, these are people in the state of Illinois who are saying no.
So how does she explain the 5,000 to 8,000 families, people who jammed into the Capitol on the committee days?
Right.
Oh, they were duplicates?
They were all paid activists.
They came from Iowa, right? Yeah, right?
No, this is all a spin. And, you know, I think they are nervous. They're up against strong parents in the state of Illinois.
Yeah.
We have strong parents here. And I want people to have the faith about that. She's having this town hall because she's having to defend something that is indefensible.
Now, the sponsor of the bill, the main sponsor, is Tara Casa Howard from the Lombard-Lyle area. And she didn't have an opponent last time around. I think she's going to have an opponent this time around, someone we know and like very much, outspoken. Her name is Stephanie Trussell. So I hope I'm not out there too soon, but I'm hoping and praying that conservatives and homeschool families will rally around her and be her army, her precinct armies.
Amen. They will be. There are people who have been saying since they saw this bill get filed that Tara Casa Howard has to be unseated. We have to get a good challenger on the ballot. And Stephanie Trussell is such a strong parental rights warrior.
Yes.
She's a common sense woman. And I think that she will be a formidable opponent.
You know what else? She's funny.
She is.
She's got a great sense of humor.
She's real. Yes.
She's a businesswoman.
She's a businesswoman. Mm-hmm. That's right. Her and her husband. Listen, I want to get back to the complaints, though. What is the prospect? Have you heard back from the federal government? Are they looking into this? Are you expecting a hammer to drop?
Yes. Expecting a strong hammer. I think this is going to be a matter of timing. You talk about the midterms and maybe Pritzker. I think that the Trump administration is going to be probably savvy on some of the steps and strategies as they put more light on Illinois. So we're going to be patient. But our Title VI complaint about the race hustling, that was assigned a case number. And we haven't heard any follow-up on investigation on that yet. But I have contacts with the Department of Education, so I can keep checking in with them. Look, there's a flood of complaints coming their way. So we have to be patient. Government moves much slower than probably any of us sitting here would prefer.
Yes, I am painfully aware of it. Yes.
But I know that our complaints are very well drafted. They are rooted in truth. and we have strong receipts. So I think that we're just going to have to be patient. The Title IX one, obviously the task force is going to, I think, prioritize our complaint. Yeah. There's a second one that was filed right before ours by Liberty Justice Center against the State Board of Education and Chicago Public Schools. So we reference that in our title. And I encourage people to go to awakeil.com to read our complaints, both of them, but especially the Title IX one, because it goes to show why we have such allies in the Trump administration and where Illinois is doubling down. Yeah. But I think we have incredible momentum.
How's Valley View responding to this?
Valley View School District, I went to their school board meeting the Monday after the Friday that we announced our Title IX complaint, and the trans radicals showed up in force. And that was a tough school board meeting because you can feel the anger and the visceral rage when you walk into the room, and you just have to cut it like a knife and just stand tall. It's a shame that this is where we are, that they want boys' and girls' bathrooms that badly, that they would support child mutilation and sterilization that much. But this is what we're up against. It's evil. And it doesn't matter how misguided or uneducated somebody is on the topic, we have to fight this for the protection of these children, especially, and this is very important, the identity-confused children. They are being exploited just as much as the girl who's in the bathroom having her personal space violated. All of these children are being exploited.
I think it also points to the need in these school districts for people to run for school board. You did it. When you're asking someone to run for school board, well, boy, watch out. We talked about that a little bit, but we still need people to do that, don't we?
We do. I mean, it's one of the most important political races that you can support. It's the majority of your tax dollars, and these policies are directly influencing children. So over the last two municipal cycles, we have seen more and more common sense people with courage get elected. So it's a slow moving advancement to see representative government with common sense and ethics get elected to school boards. But it's one of the most important, I think, political campaigns that you would ever have to consider running for because of the fact that, again, those policies directly affect children.
Let me also bring to your attention a kind of positive ruling that we've just got regarding schools. I don't know if you remember Bogan High School a few years ago sued because they were teaching transcendental meditation. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And, well, there's a ruling that's coming down that the plaintiff is going to win $2.6 million in the class action case and settlement.
Wow.
It's a settlement. This is a victory for
sure.
Our side because, again, they're not majoring on the majors. They're not teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic, but they're teaching them Eastern religions like TM. Are you serious?
Right. Yeah. And this was happening in California, too, where they were having like meditation areas and they were having kids in these rooms with, you know, all these pseudo religious practices.
Right.
So people talk about how schools became secular. They didn't. They just replaced one religion with the woke religion. So
or secularism or humanism. Let's call it humanism.
Humanism and now transhumanism. So, you know, I think these
the
school
abortion religion.
All of it.
Yeah, all of it.
That's just a shame because they celebrate it now. It's gone so far that they celebrate it.
Well, that leads me to, what is it, Senate Bill 1160 and the mental health screenings?
1560.
Yeah, 1560. That's
1560,
right.
1560, okay. I can almost understand the logic for this. They want to prevent school shootings. They want to prevent suicide. That's the reasoning.
After causing some of the reasons for this. I mean, they're teaching climate change, anxiety to the kids. They're teaching them that you may not be really a boy or really a girl. Anxiety in the kids. They're causing all these mental illness problems.
What's the danger of that legislation?
Yeah. The particular legislation wants to phase in increased mental health screenings, quote unquote, in the K-12 schools. This is a big thing to unpack, but let's do it. So the mental health of children, that's everybody's concern. Had they really been concerned about that, they would have never closed schools as long as they did. They would have never forced unregulated breathing apparatus known as cloth masks on children. They would have never forced, like the American Academy of Pediatrics suggested, getting your kid an experimental injection during COVID. So I think that, you know, we have gone off the charts in not protecting these children.
Right.
And certainly their mental health should be paramount. But think about the social-emotional learning, which is such a communist application of, you know, utopia. They are very hard-pressed to recognize how social-emotional learning, how is it going to feel socially if you are not literate? How is it going to feel emotionally if you cannot read? So why don't we start there? And then maybe when we're at 90% literacy in the state of Illinois, we can talk about other mental health issues. But I think this is just a way for them to money launder and get these NGOs involved in the schools. Because if you look at how they're going to do screenings, they're going to use non-government organizations and informal, quote-unquote,
right,
people to come in. And I talked about this in a live stream last year. The Blueprint for Transformation was published via Pritzker in 2022. And there are blurbs about what some of these NGOs might look like. Social justice organizations.
Absolutely.
It is all political ideology.
Shannon, let's not sugarcoat it. This is about reprogramming our children to be good little
radicals.
Socialists.
Radicals. Indoctrinated
cultural
radicals.
Marxists.
Yes. Woke radicals and sexualized radicals who cannot read.
So my big concern is, and I've been talking to some of our lawmakers in Springfield, is who defines what mental health is? Who defines what mental illness is? Shannon, you're a xenophobe. You're a homophobe. You're a transphobe. Aren't those all mental illnesses?
Right. Well, this is why the homeschool attack bill is also so dangerous, because if you are not following their woke ideology, their politics and their religion, they're going to come for you,
yeah,
as the parent. And so, yes, they're already trying to infuse this in the walls of the school without parents knowing. And that's what's most, you know, detrimental about increased mental health screenings is you don't know who is doing the screening, what,
yes,
is being reported,
right,
what interventions could be taking place.
Yes, oh my gosh, yes.
And
thank
why
you.
Are we presuming that schools that cannot effectively teach our children to read will in any way, shape, or form do a good job of improving the mental health, which is basically health care. That is medical health care, the medicalization pathways. Why would we ever assume that a school, a brick-and-mortar school, is going to be entrusted with that responsibility?
Oh,
no, thank
goodness.
You.
Well, you know, there was a bill also that would have let library districts create mental health facilities.
They're already kind of doing it a little bit. You know that in certain counties in Illinois, especially around like the DuPage area, they're using these volunteers that are, quote, counselors. Some of them come from these universalist churches and wear the whole, like, you know, pastoral garb,
yes,
with the rainbows. They're already connecting with students via the school district.
Wow.
So they're kind of creating a pipeline in the libraries.
Yes.
I mean, it is happening, you guys. This is not hyperbole.
No.
And the books are there to help supplement.
Well, it's funny. I have somebody who
picture
said—
picture books because they can't read.
Right.
And it's our experience, too, by the way, that you know, homeless like to hang out at the libraries,
and
especially
perverts.
In the winters.
And perverts.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. The thing about NGOs that you brought up, in Illinois, you have to follow the money.
Mm-hmm.
And I never made that connection that NGOs would be behind this.
Sure.
And if you look at the WISC model, this is a little more high level, but it's still important if somebody really wants to learn about the origins of, for example, mental health screenings in schools. The WISC model, WSCC, comes from the CDC. It is the whole school, whole child, whole community model, a very communist effort where the school and the government are going to take care of all of your children's needs. So the school is not only going to be the place where you have the most of the day, it's also going to be where they get their teeth cleaned, where they get their medicine, where they get their abortion pills, where they get their chest binders, their puberty blockers.
Holy
and
smoke.
So this WISC model is absolutely the origin of increased mental health. And we saw it even with the COVID injection. It's not a vaccine, it's an injection. They started administering these at the schools. The schools became, to some parents, a facility for health care. So they've normalized it, you know, by dusting, if you will, these last 5 years. But the whole school, whole child, whole community model is absolutely a communist agenda to split children from their parents and to entrust government with basically everything that,
wow,
has to do with your children's health care, their school, all of it.
The
do you have more
your
information
parent.
On your website,
yes,
about this?
I've done some live streams on it. I can post when we share this podcast.
Yes. Yeah, give me the link
on,
so we'll put it in the notes.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I sure will. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to get back to the homeschool thing briefly here before we have to say goodbye. Let's say this bill does not pass. Surely they're going to come back next year,
yep,
with a modified version of this. What do we need to be watching out for, and how do we combat a renewed effort?
It's our assertion, as I'm sure you would share in this too, Dave, no bill can pass that will in any way modify or legislate or police homeschooling.
That's right.
Is the last bastion of parental rights freedom, and we have to see that zero bill passes. Watering it down is still going to give them that door opening to continue replacing your fundamental rights as parents with government. So our assertion is no bill can pass. Zero bill can
pass. Homeschoolers are considered a private school, and leave us alone.
Leave them alone.
Yep.
The awakening that has happened, I think, is still going to be formidable going into 2026. And I think arguably the next 10 years.
That's right.
What was it, 11 years ago the bill was stopped against homeschool? I think that the groundswell of awareness is in our favor. We have to continue reminding people about it, even if Tara Costa Howard gets unseated and Stephanie gets elected.
Yes.
Because this is still a very strong activist and still probably pretty well-funded effort, as I mentioned, with the WISC model and other things.
It's a national push. There's a national push to introduce legislation all over the place. And while Tara Costa Howard will rattle off a whole list of states, 38 I think it was, that have some kind of regulations for homeschoolers, my point back to her is, we're a leader. Why are you giving that up?
Right,
we're a leader in freedom.
Right, our goal should be to see that go from 38 to 37 to 36
Amen.
To 35. We're not going in the right direction.
That's right.
So yeah, and I think we'll get there.
Well, on the off chance before May 31st, if this does pass and head to the governor, how do Christians respond? How do homeschoolers respond?
Well, what's interesting is Governor Pritzker has not responded at all. And he's been all over the news. I don't know if you've seen. He thinks he's the darling of the Democrat Party, which is adorable of him. But he has been silent on this issue, which tells me he knows it is a losing issue. Strategically, some people have said he may veto it purely to make him look like a savior as he takes the national stage in politics. It'd be an interesting strategy. I don't know if he's smart enough to do that. But I think that the Christian principle of your household is probably going to translate into some civil disobedience.
Absolutely.
You saw it with the Second Amendment, where like five people in the state of Illinois have registered their guns with that state
is that
registry.
Only five?
I'm just joking. I don't know that it's five, but it's like relative to the state. It's like nothing. Yeah. So I think you're going to see civil disobedience. Our parental rights are God-given.
Amen.
And I will say the good news is that those who would be forced more or less to police this this effort or this bill in their communities, that would be like regional superintendents, school board secretaries,
ROEs,
regional superintendents. They do not want to do this to their fellow neighbors. These are their friends, their family members. And so I think that middle management, if you will, of government bureaucracy is not going to really be aggressive, just like you saw sheriffs saying, we're not going to go knock on people's doors looking for their guns. So I think you're going to see some civil disobedience and people who will not comply.
And there will be people who will move out of the state as well.
I know, and that's tragic. It's terrible. That might be what they want. They don't want the good people,
the conservative
left in the state.
Christians,
yeah, that's right.
Or whatever, yeah.
Well, you know, you think about it. If you're in a school district and you need to approve a school levy and you've got all these homeschoolers that remember that you've come after them, maybe your levy doesn't pass. Okay.
Amen.
All right. Shannon, what a wealth of great information.
Yep. What a great organization. And people need to follow you and need to support you. Is there, you're a 501c3, c4? What are you?
We are 501c4,
okay.
Awake Illinois. And then we do have a c3, Awake Americans,
okay.
Which is less focused on, you know, elections and lobbying. So we do both.
Okay. Any events coming up?
We're planning right now. Planning. So stay tuned.
Okay.
And I would look forward to having you partner with us on some of these efforts.
Absolutely.
But, you know, we were talking about how 3 years ago we had done a common sense caravan to the Capitol. Stephanie Trussell was there. Darren Bailey. You had Latasha Fields. All these great people.
Yep.
I think it's time to maybe think about doing that again
sure.
this summer. So we might plan to do something down to Springfield, maybe around like the state fair or something, and get some grassroots show.
Beautiful. I love it.
I'll have to grow taller and dye my hair. Okay. Well, speaking of big events coming up, we have one coming up with a kind of a trailblazer.
Right. We have
Riley Gaines.
November 7th, and the Riley Gaines will be our keynote speaker. We're thrilled to be able to have her. She's a hero. She's worked closely with Mary Miller and others. And as Donald Trump has signed into law, executive orders banning males from female sports and private spaces. So, yeah, we're November 7th. Go to our website, illinoisfamily.org/events. You'll find it there. And we'd love to see you there in Homer Glen, which is kind of a new place for us, but we're looking forward to it. It's a beautiful facility.
All right. There you go. Shannon, thank you again.
Yes.
I think Shannon should be our guest.
Yes, I do too.
I would love to. Thank you.
And we need to have you come back because you are, like he said, a wealth of information.
Thanks, guys. God bless.
All right. God bless you. And God bless you, folks. Do support the work of the Illinois Family Institute. You can go to our website, illinoisfamily.org, for events, to give, whatever. We have some great articles out there. And tell your family and friends about Illinois Family Spotlight. Until next time, stay healthy, stay active, and God bless.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.